Today on Maine Calling, looking forward to the new year for the music scene in Maine. If you're a music buff, chances are you already have tickets for concerts in the new year. Maybe well into the new year. There are big names coming to Maine. For example, Shania Twain tickets go on sale today. And there are plenty of Maine performers, singers and bands, string quartets and chorales, working on something new for their fan base. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will look into the future with music writers Amesel Ponte and Emily Burnham. They'll tell us about some new singers who excite them and delve into the variety of rich musical offerings coming up in Maine. What are you excited to see and hear? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Let me.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today, we are talking about music, the music scene in Maine, and specifically shows that people might be excited to see. Who are you looking forward to? Who are you hoping performs in Maine? Or is there a particular venue that you really love to go see music, where you really love to go see music? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or find us at email talk@mainepublic.org. Our guests today, Amesel Ponte, music writer for the Portland Press Herald, and Emily Burnham, audience engagement editor for the Bangor Daily News. Again, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566.
Inch by inch and row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. And inch by inch and row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sowed. Someone warmed them from below till the rains come and tumble them down.
That was, of course, legendary folk singer and songwriter David Mallett. We cannot talk about music in Maine without acknowledging that David Mallett passed away this past week. And the song you just heard, his best known piece, The Garden Song. I'm going to start with you, Amesel. Really shockwaves throughout the music community and beyond in Maine, because David Mallett meant so much to so many people.
There was a collective heartbreak in the state of Maine, and we're all going to be feeling it for a long time. And, you know, my colleague Ray Ruthie wrote a story, and I called Annie Clark, the singer-songwriter. She could barely speak to me. She was so bereft. And I've seen such lovely tributes from people like Don Campbell and Jonathan Edwards. It's immeasurable how big a loss this is. He was only 73 years old, and his contributions are immense. And thankfully, we have all that music to remember him by.
Emily, yeah. You talked to one of his kids yesterday.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to speak with Luke Mallett, who, of course, with his brother Will, founded the Mallett Brothers Band about 15 years ago. So, you know, that incredible tradition of music in their family, and with his daughter Molly. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me, having the honor to speak with them at this time, was how much they spoke about, you know, not only did he love, you know, his music and his family, but he was so deeply connected to this state. You know, after he had, you know, kind of shot to fame with the Garden Song on his first album in the late 70s, he moved to Nashville, but he always wanted to come back to his hometown, Sebek in Piscataquis County. And the land and the people and the wilderness of Maine really informed everything he wrote. And, you know, I mean, the first song, The Garden Song, that's about his family land. So you really, when you talk about a musician or an artist from this state, I think there's almost no one better represents kind of what Maine's all about than David Mallet. It's a huge loss.
And his influence, I mean, I think that a lot of people, even if they don't know Dave Mallet specifically music, I've had two people say to me recently, oh, he sang that? It's a style of music. It's a way of living that he represented, Amesel, that is what I think a lot of people think of when they think of Maine music, especially recent.
Yeah, and which is why he's always going to be with us. The imprint is everlasting, truly. But it was such a shocking thing to hear, and right before Christmas, like, it's just heartbreaking. But we love you, Dave, always.
Well, we planned this program today long before we knew this terrible news, and it's really to look forward at what's happening in Maine coming up on the music scene. And I'm going to acknowledge right here at the top of the program, there is going to be no way we get to everything because there's so much going on and so much that we haven't even heard about yet. But Amesel, why don't I start by asking you about some news that's just breaking today, that there might possibly be a new music venue, a large new music venue in Portland. It's just been proposed, but this comes on the heels of another announcement that the Portland Planning Board has approved a two-day festival this summer. Tell us what you know about both.
Well, you know, it began as a regular day. I had absolutely no idea. A lot of people in the news were like, Amesel, what do you know about this? I'm like, absolutely nothing. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at a rendering right now of the proposed Portland Music Hall, 3,300 seats, basically around the corner from Merrill Auditorium. So, Merrill Auditorium hovers around 1,900-ish, a couple hundred less down right up this road at the State Theater. And then we've got about, 6,500 at the Civic Center. I mean, it's hard to complain about, like, the more shows that come to Maine, the better. But I'm very surprised. So we'll see if this happens. And if so, it's supposed to open late in 2027.
And what do you know about this potential or this music festival that's been approved for August for Payson Park in Portland? They keep saying big names, big deal.
Yeah,
They
have not announced anything, although I will just go on record as saying somehow I managed to go through 2024 without seeing Brandi Carlile, which is inconceivable, to quote the Princess Bride. So, and I know she loves Maine. So I'm thinking, you know, could be her and maybe the National. I mean, the list is endless of all the people that could be part of this. And 12,000 people, like, I go to Newport Folk Festival every year, and that's 10,000 people a day. And it's massive. It's three stages, and it's very crowded and really wonderful. So I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around 12,000 potentially per day at Payson. But I, you know, as long as it can be done, and it seems like the effort is being made to do it done in a way that's respectful of the park and of its neighbors, I'll be first in line. I think it sounds awesome, and I hope they bring some local acts on the stage, like our beloved Mallet Brothers. You know, here for it, I think. Yeah.
Emily, I want to turn to you. Speaking of big concert series, Bangor is the place with the Waterfront concert series. Boy, has that changed the Bangor music scene. It exploded there. We already know concerts into August and September. Tell us what we know about what's coming up in Bangor this coming year.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the time of year where all those concert announcements really start coming fast and furious. People start, you know, booking their summer tours and fall tours, around this time of year. So it's always fun to see what new thing pops up. Now, I have to say, for me, as a child of the 90s, I am excited about the announcement of Shania Twain on July 22nd. I'm pretty sure. It's definitely her first headlining show in Maine, because I know when she was just before she became super famous, she opened for somebody at the Bangor Auditorium like 30 years ago or 40 years ago. But that's a really exciting one. That's on July 22nd. Speaking of the 90s and early 2000s, Avril Lavigne is on May 25th, also at the Maine Savings Amphitheater. A lot of acts that, we've got the Goo Goo Dolls, so another 90s thing. And of course, I don't want to step on your toes, Amesel, but like, I know you are also We were talking before the show. You are very excited about Melissa Etheridge and the Indigo Girls on August 30th. So,
I'm dying. I'm busy. Yeah.
There's a ton of great shows coming up. Many more will be announced in the coming weeks. Sometimes you don't have the full schedule set until as late as like March or April. So definitely stay tuned. There's lots of cool stuff coming up for that venue. And plus the venue itself has changed so much in just the past few years. They had a ton of upgrades. It's much more comfortable. There's lots of bathrooms now, which is great. I remember when they very first opened, it was porta potties, and now there's like, it's like maybe I think the single largest array of like bathrooms in the state. I don't know why I'm talking about that, but it was a big upgrade.
That's hugely important.
It is. Yeah. So, the venue has matured so much, and they really are one of the, I think, best venues in the Northeast, certainly. And we attract a lot of Canadians too, which is really cool. So yeah, very exciting.
And Amesville in Portland, people get excited to see the concert schedule at Thompson's Point. Also something that's relatively recent to, if people grew up in Portland or the Portland area, we don't have that schedule yet, right?
There's been a couple of shows released. Trombone Shorty is going to be there this summer. And, you know, I can't imagine they'll go through summer without our beloved Lake Street Dive. It's always exciting when shows get announced for Thompson's Point. I love it. I love the whole vibe. Parking can be a challenge, but we figure it out. We all just figure it out. Guster on the Ocean has been announced. That is going to be 3 days of pure magic. That's in August. Trombone Shorty in Orleans Avenue is on July 18th. There's going to probably be another dozen announcements, and I'm super excited about all of them.
Okay, great. Well, I know that it's a little tricky here on December 20th to be talking about upcoming shows, because when you're talking about, I think you said, Emily, that this is the time of year that the big national groups start announcing their summer and fall tours. But as far as our favorite local artists or regional artists, their timelines are a little bit different. We don't know. You know, maybe you're a huge fan of, you mentioned the Mallet Brothers, Oshima Brothers, you know, one of these great local bands. We don't know when they're going to perform in 2025 yet. So I'm just putting that out there that we're probably not focusing on their shows yet because we don't know. But Emily, why don't I ask you? I know that both you and Amesville want to highlight some sort of emerging artists that maybe people haven't heard about that you're really excited about that you hope will perform in Maine coming up. Tell us, Emily, about Isaac Raven.
Oh, yeah. So he is such a cool, like, sort of indie surf rock artist. He's from Central Maine, and he's been playing a ton of shows all over the state, from Portland North. He's got a show coming up on January 18th at a really great venue in downtown Bangor, Maine, called Red Rabbit Bazaar. It's on Columbia Street. By day, it is a really, really cool vintage and thrift shop. And by night, they do excellent indie rock and punk rock and art shows and dance parties. And so Isaac Raven is playing with, along with the bands Widow's Club and Sturgeon on January 18th. And he's a really great guitarist, and his music is super fun. And I am such a sucker for that surf guitar sound. So I just hear that and I want to dance in a, 60s surfy kind of way. And hopefully nobody will actually see that. I do that alone at my house. If I was at a venue like Red Rabbit with a bunch of other people, I'd probably bust it out too. So big fan.
Speaking of busted out, we have a clip. So here is Isaac Raven from Sweet Adam. We can bathe in the swamp and hope nothing goes wrong. Thanks, Emily, for that recommendation. Okay, Amesville, I know that you would like to highlight Linda Mandolin. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, you know, Linda, I'm a huge fan of. She's in two bands, Tiger Bomb, who have been around for a while, all female rock band, and also Crystal Canyon. And she does solo stuff here and there. And she just covered a 1961 hit by the Paris Sisters. It just came out like a week ago. A song called, some of you might know, called "I Love How You Love Me," and it kind of keeps it keeps like the infrastructure of the original version, but also it expands it in a very different way. And I love her vocals. I love her whole 60s vibe. Yeah, huge fan. And I'm just curious to see what's happening next with her.
All right, well, guess what? We have a clip of Linda Mandolin singing I Love How You Love Me. Linda Mandolin, who lives in Portland. I love how you love me. Well, joining us now is Brad Labrie, Director of Sales and Marketing for the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor. Thanks for calling in, Brad.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the ballroom series going on at Cross Insurance Center.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yeah, so it's all about variety at the Cross Center, and not only in our programming, but also in how audience experience shows. So this year we introduced the ballroom series, which we've erected a stage in our grand ballroom, and depending on the show, we adjust our audience seating. So sometimes if we have a comedic act, it'll be more of a nightclub vibe. But it's more of an intimate experience in our ballroom as opposed to the arena. And this year we're really excited to welcome Jordan Klepper, a conversation with Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show. And so we have a variety of comedic acts that come in there and some rock music coming in there. So Jordan Klepper is January 31st, and we have a really fun Led Zeppelin cover band happening January 11th. We have a Michael Jackson history show happening January 27th. So a lot of things happening in our ballroom in January. And that's new to the Cross Center, and we're just trying to offer just something a little bit different, a little bit more of an intimate experience in Bangor. You know, it can be a little limited in the acts that people can find, so we're just trying to offer something a little bit more approachable, a little bit more of a cheaper ticket.
Yeah, and thanks, Brad. It's great too because January, a lot of what we're talking about is coming up next summer. So that's terrific news. That was Brad Labrie with the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor. We're talking about the music scene in Maine, specifically concerts, events coming up, but also if you want to shout out your favorite singer or band, that's fine too. Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or comment on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling, and this is a day we are talking about musicians and concerts and events happening all over Maine in the new year, those that we know about already. With me, Emily Burnham with Bangor Daily News and Amesel Ponte with the Portland Press Herald. You can share your comments and questions. Send an email to talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Patty, who's calling from Clifton. Hi, Patty. Go ahead.
Hi. I know of a new artist that is recording here in Clifton. Her name is Randy Caswell. Professional name is Randiliz, Randy Liz. And she is self-taught. She's been doing it since she's 12 years old. She's taught herself keyboard and guitar. She's a singer-songwriter, and she's extremely talented. And this is our up-and-coming generation
That's wonderful, Patty.
of
Do you
Maine
know if
writers.
She is performing anytime soon?
She is not doing live performances yet. She's looking at getting back into it, but she is on Spotify and all the other music venues.
All right. Well, thanks for the tip. Let's see. We are going to go to Julia calling from Mechanic Falls. Hi, Julia. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I am calling. Wait,
oh boy, Julia, I'm going to ask if you try to call back or send an email because something weird is happening to your phone call. You don't sound like yourself, but I want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to take advantage of this lull in our calls to go back to Emily. You know, we've talked about the, we've talked to folks from the Cross Insurance Center, and we've talked about the waterfront concerts. But what other venues are you really excited to go to this year? What shows do you know about that you're already looking forward to?
Yeah, well, you know, I think probably to me the most exciting new venue in the state in the past year or so has got to be Hey Sailor in Searsport and their Starboard Lounge. Over the past year or so, I grew up in Searsport, and when I was growing up in the late 90s and early 2000s, I could not have conceived of there being a venue that had really cool bands, that hosted drag shows, and that also had great food and cocktails. That would have blown my mind. And yet here we are with this, I think, one of the best small venues in the state. They've had a ton of great acts coming through this year, both local bands and some touring acts, regional touring acts. They aren't too far booked into the winter so far this year, but there is tonight playing there at Hey Sailor in Searsport, there's Dominic Pavoy, a very well-known Portland musician, along with the band 40 Thieves. And then there's actually another drag show the fall on Saturday. And then they've got a really great New Year's Eve party on New Year's Eve with a whole bunch of great main bands, including Rigometrix, Sea People, Scobie, and I'm hoping I'm saying this right. I'm assuming it's pronounced Ouvre. If it's not pronounced like that, I'm sorry, Ouvre. but that's on New Year's Eve. So if you want to see a whole bunch of great bands and ring in the new year, that's a great place to do it.
Wonderful. We're going to try Julia calling from Mechanic Falls again. Hi, Julia.
Hello, Jennifer. I'm sorry about that.
Much better.
Good. I was calling to highlight Flask Lounge, which has been a staple in Maine's electronic underground music scene for many years, although we do also host bands. Thursday nights, we have karaoke. And also, yes, New Year's Eve, please go to flasklounge.com. You'll see the entire schedule of events. We also have a lovely New Year's Eve party with a champagne toast at midnight. But Tuesdays, we do something cool called Open Decks Night, where instead of an open mic night, DJs can come in with little or no experience and have some more experienced DJs in a welcoming environment, kind of guide them along how to work with the decks and as well as vinyl. And we have been voted, you know, Maine's number one gay bar many years in a row. But I will say we are come one, come all. We have people 21 to 75 on our dance floor any given night. So please come and visit us at 117 Spring Street.
All right, Julia, thanks so much for calling in. It sounds like a lot of fun. And I especially love that, you know, I think that, well, I hear from my friends, Amesville, who really like to go dancing, that this Maine has not been a great place to go dancing historically. So we're hearing about Flask Lounge.
I have danced at Flask many times. I love it. I love Flask. Yeah.
But I'm just wondering where else you'd like to highlight. We've heard from Emily.
Oh, sure. Well, I've prepared a secret special fast list. Here you go. Well, first of all, I'm upset because I want to move into Stone Mountain Arts Center. They have this vintage tour bus out front, and I've just like, Carol Noonan, just can I just live there? I'm working on her, so I could go.
She's
to
awfully
Mountain.
Nice. You might. You
she
might.
Is awesome. Yeah. But I just want to give you a shout out to these venues, and there's so many others. But the Hill Arts on Munjoy Hill, One Longfellow Square, Vinegar Hill in Arundel, of course Stone Mountain, Johnson Hall Opera House in Gardner, the beloved Booth Bay Opera House, the Chocolate Church in Bath, Blue in Portland, and Oxbow Bottling and Blending in Portland has become quite a music venue. And I've seen stuff there. The stage is great. And I'll give a shout out to Dead Gowns, fronted by Genevieve Bowden, who is probably one of the best singers in Maine, album release show on Valentine's Day at Oxbow.
Wow, that's a great list. That's a great list. Amesville, Julia, thanks for getting us started with that list. And a note here that Space Gallery has dance parties.
How did I forget Space? I for 20 years, I've been going to stuff at Space. I'm sorry, I've had a little too much caffeine this morning. Yes, I love you, Space, so much.
There's no such thing as too much caffeine. We have an email here from Dave Bullard. She says and takes a sip. You can't see her on Zoom. We have an email here from Dave Bullard who says he wants to mention his show with Neil Lamb tomorrow, December 21st at 7 p.m. at Lamont Hall in Brunswick. It is a Bossa Nova Christmas guitar concert. That sounds fun. Bossa Nova Christmas guitar. And speaking of holidays, we will mention that, you know, the classic PSO Magic of Christmas celebrating its 100th year is going to air this year on Maine Public Television, December 24th at 8 p.m., re-airing Christmas Day and on December 29th. We're making a special out of it. Maine Public Classical's Heather McDougall will be part of it. So, you know, we are talking about the new year predominantly, but sounds like we've got some wonderful holiday concerts still happening right now. So I'm going to go to Adam calling from Saco. Hi, Adam. Go ahead.
Hey there, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to do a name drop for a local artist who goes by Sosh Mace. His real name is Sam Chase, but he lives down in Nashville, and he's a Bangor local. He's been playing in the Bangor scene for years. He was a part of the band Sam and Yuri, and then the Rotating Taps. Now he's just a solo artist, and he does the folky rock music, takes a lot of influence from the Beatles and Coldplay, but he has a lot of eclectic styles and throws in some Wu-Tang and lots of cool covers. He's just got a great presence, and I just want to give him some clout.
Adam, thanks for the recommendation. Do either of our guests have anything to add to Adam's recommendation?
Well,
go ahead, Emily.
Well, I will say I have known Sam Chase from when he was in high school in the band Sam and Yuri. He's from the Bangor area, and have watched him mature as an artist over many years, and he's super talented. So thank you for shouting him out. Hi, Sam, if you're listening.
Adam, thanks so much for that. Let's see. We're going to go to Tim, who's calling from Cumberland. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hey, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. I'm originally from Los Angeles, and I moved here in 1995, and I'll tell you, the wealth of concerts and who comes through here and the accessibility of tickets is outstanding. It's so hard in bigger cities to get tickets and so expensive. And I find I have seen shows at the State Theater that have just knocked my socks off. I saw Bruce Hornsby, and warming up for him was Los Lobos, and I think it was $35. This is right before COVID. Just incredible. And next year I got Mastodon and Coheed and Cambria at the Cross Insurance Arena in Portland, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful area to see concerts. So I just wanted to add my 2 cents worth.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. And it is true. You know, we hear about these big names that go on tour, and tickets can be hundreds of dollars, even thousands of dollars. But Amesville, you can see a pretty darn good show on a budget here in Maine, can't you?
You can. I mean, Blue, it's usually a pass the hat donation thing. Although, just to be clear, I don't think anyone should ever have to play for free. But yeah, you can be a live music fan, on a budget for sure. Yeah, plenty of places have affordable tickets.
Yeah, we have. Let's see here. An email from Linda. About 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of hearing Jane Klucke sing. She's a member of the Crystal Vision Band. Her voice is magical.
Oh.
The Crystal Vision
Band. Well, that's the
the most extraordinary voice I've heard as a child of the 60s. I've enjoyed many decades of live music. So
great.
Wonderful. Now, this is interesting. Jim on Facebook writes, sadly, Maine's music scene borders on homogeneity. Few venues, such as Space Gallery, actively work to book BIPOC artists. Portland in particular has much work to do to attract and promote shows that reflect the diversity of our population. Emily and Ames, I'm going to ask you if you agree with that.
I mean, in a word, yes. I think some organizations are trying. Portland Ovations does a pretty decent job of that, for sure.
Emily, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, certainly that, Space Gallery has always been a really amazing kind of standard bearer for representing diverse voices and, really spotlighting people from all different disciplines and lived experiences. But yes, absolutely. That is absolutely something that we all need to work on, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are talking about music in Maine, the music scene in Maine. I'm wondering from our audience if you've already bought tickets for shows in Maine in the new year, or if there's someone you really hope will perform. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can find us on social media or send an email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It's a celebration of music today on Maine Calling. We're talking about musicians and concerts and events happening all over Maine in the new year. With me, Emily Burnham with the Bangor Daily News and Amesel Ponte with the Portland Press Herald. You can share your comments and questions. You do have time. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. You know, Amesel, there are a couple Mainers who are kind of, we don't know if they're performing in Maine this year, but kind of big names nationally. One, of course, Role Model, just toured with Gracie Abrams and had a new album last year.
Sure.
But another, and a name we've heard for years, but boy, is she having great success now, is Amy Allen.
You know, I think I started working at the full time at the Press Herald in 2011. And I think my first year there, within a year of working there, Amy Allen was still a student at Wayne Fleet. I think it was her senior project. She hand delivered her EP. And I've been a huge fan of it, following her career. And, you know, she's already won a Grammy for being part of the Harry Styles album last year. And right now she's up for four. She moved to L.A. a number of years ago and is absolutely slaying as a songwriter. She has written songs. I mean, Sabrina Carpenter, obviously, is the big one.
Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, Amesel, are you back?
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. Well, while we figure out what's going on with Amesel's Zoom connection, we actually have a clip of the Sabrina Carpenter song I think you're about to refer to, a huge hit, and written by Maine's own Amy Allen.
I heard that you're an actor, so act like a stand-up guy. Whatever devil's inside you, don't let him out tonight. I tell them it's just your culture, and everyone rolls their eyes. Yeah, I know.
Okay, I think you're back, Amesel. What do you want to say about that?
I'll just recap. Amy Allen she moved to LA a number of years ago. I don't know where I got cut off, but she is absolutely slaying. She also, by the way, she puts out her own music that is tremendous. She just put out an album that I love just a couple months ago. But she is a highly, highly regarded, highly coveted songwriter for people, big heavy hitters, Harry Styles, Justin Timberlake, Olivia Rodrigo, and of course, Sabrina Carpenter. She's up for four Grammys. I keep kidding with the Press Herald, want to fly me to LA? And I'm just excited. And she's just great. A huge fan. And I'm so excited that she's from Maine. Grew up in Maine.
Another name making that we have to mention, of course, is American Idol breakout Julia Gagnon. And boy, what an exciting year to watch network television and follow a Maine singer. And I know that she has a concert coming up this year at Waterville Opera House, but I don't think it's the only place. I believe, in case you haven't heard of her and don't know how she sings, we do have a clip there. Let's go.
It ain't no way for me to give you all you need.
And that was her American Idol tryout. Amesel, you can hear the judges there sort of being blown away. Oh boy, we've lost you again, Emily. I'm sure you were following the story as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I hadn't watched Idol in quite some time, and then immediately I'm like sucked back in because, like, oh, Maine Pride, I gotta support Julia. And plus, she's such a sweetheart and has such a compelling story. And you know, that voice is ridiculous. And what I really love is that since leaving the show, she's been playing shows all over the state, really kind of, you know, showcasing her, not only her musical skills, but her personality. And I think, you know, it's really nice to kind of feel really proud of like a hometown hero. So I really love that.
Yeah, really sweet. Just a few weeks ago, she sang at the Maine Association of Broadcasters annual meeting and award ceremony. And again, you talked about how sweet she is. She thanked broadcasters for, you know, highlighting her and promoting her and, you know, just in a very down to earth and sweet way. And then, of course, she took the mic and belted it out. So super fun to see her there. We're going to go to Dave Morrison, who's calling from the Camden Opera House. He's manager there. Dave, what musical highlights are happening at your venue?
Hi, Jennifer. We have a lot of shows, but a couple I would mention is the Mallet Brothers are here on March 21st with Chris Ross. So that's going to be a great night, carrying on the tradition of their father who just passed this week. And our other sort of our biggest thing on the calendar is we have a Jazz in June festival in June. It's a 3-day festival. It's going to have Spyro Gyra and Julia Keefe, who's a wonderful indigenous jazz singer, and the Greg Abadi Trio, and a whole lot more. So those are the big ones.
Oh, super. That sounds really fun. Dave, we started the program today. I don't know if you heard it talking about David Mallet and the heartbreak that so many people are feeling to hear of his death. And I'm wondering if you have any stories or any thoughts about his role in Maine's music scene to share.
He was on our stage a couple of times, and it was always a pleasure. He was such a great guy. He was a giant, and he was also just this earthy, regular man. He was here a couple of times last year. He came with Governor Mills to hear Heather Cox Richardson speak, which was great. And he also came when the Mallet Brothers were here, and he was on stage with them. So that was really a treat and a great memory.
Oh, wow. To hear him play with his sons, I bet that was wonderful. While we've got you on the line, we've already asked Emily and Amesel, are there any up-and-coming musicians or singers that you're keeping your eye on?
We are big fans of Louisa Stanchioff, who is a wonderful singer-songwriter. She was in a band called Diado a couple of years ago, and she's played here several times, and she is just a really special artist and singer-songwriter. So we hope to have her back in the coming year.
Well, Dave, both Emily and Amesel got really excited when you mentioned Louisa, so I'm going to give them a chance to add to what you said.
Oh, good.
Oh, Emily, you've seen her live. You should come. I mean, I just the album is tremendous. I can't even deal. But yeah. Why don't you tell Saul about seeing her live?
Yeah, well, you know, it was so cool because I really I was not familiar with her work until I went to it was on my birthday. We went out to have pizza and beer at Fogtown Brewing in Ellsworth, and she happened to be playing. And by the end of the day, by the end of our dinner, I was like, "Who is this person? She's so talented!" And so that was like an amazing treat. And then, of course, I later on went home and looked her up, and now I'm a big fan. So she definitely, I think, one of like the really great up-and-coming voices in Maine, for sure.
Yep.
And I believe she is performing with, let me see here, yeah, at the Strand Theater in Rockland.
Oh, love the Strand.
Coming right up on January 10th with Spencer Albee. So definitely check that out if you're looking for a really great evening of Maine songwriters in the middle of the winter. That'll certainly warm you right up.
Dave Morrison from the Camden Opera House, thanks so much for calling in. We've got a bunch of emails here, so let's see here. Denise says, the North Atlantic Blues Festival takes place in Rockland every July and is always amazing, affordable, and not to be missed. An incredible experience for people of all ages that lasts for 2 full days. So either of you have comments about the North Atlantic Blues Festival?
I've never been, but people go hysterical over it. Like, people plan their whole years around it. I love Rockland. I love that this festival is held there. And then there's a whole like pub crawl usually in the evening. And it's awesome. They get huge, huge acts, the people that run that festival. Yeah, I'm a fan from afar for sure.
All right. An email here from Kevin. Denmark Art Center presents a lovely season lineup each year featuring local Mainers and community members. Graham sent an email. Just wanted to mention I hope I pronounced this right. Aphodian in Portland, a great small venue for small bands and experimental shows. Is that right, Amesel? Aphodian?
I
Oh boy, you're frozen again. So we'll just have to hope I've pronounced it correctly. Hey, speaking of Spencer Albee, Spencer's calling in. Spencer, you just got a shout out from Emily with your show with Louisa Stanchoff coming up in Rockland. How are you?
Good. Hi, how are you?
Great. So
I'm excited for that show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling in. I understand you have something kind of exciting going on right now.
Yeah, I just released a 3-disc, 57-song, career to date retrospective called Time Machine 2024 to 2000. And I don't know why I decided to do it this year, but 24 is kind of an odd year, but I did. And I presented it in reverse order from the newest songs to the oldest songs. And then at the end of the program, there's a kind of like a third set of under-released material. A lot of it has not been issued on CD like ever before. So that's over at Bull Moose and on streaming and all that stuff.
Well, congratulations on that. We already have mentioned the Rockland show coming up. What else do you have coming up as far as live performances?
If you had asked me that, if we were talking in March, I would have had a laundry list for you. But I actually have a little bit of a break coming up, which I am very excited about because I've been steadily playing shows myself. And we had Beatles Night just closed after Thanksgiving there. And then the morning after Beatles Night closed, I got in the van with Griffin William Sherry and we headed straight to Milwaukee. So I'm still recovering. We just got back from that Midwest run. So I played with him as well. So lots
wonderful.
Of music making. It's a bizarre thing at 48 to be as busy or busier than I was in my 20s and 30s touring. It's bizarre.
Well, that's super exciting. Spencer, well, we've got you on the line. We've been asking everybody, are there emerging artists, up-and-coming artists you've got your eyes on, really excited about, people from Maine?
I mean, I'm going to look right to Louisa, and I'm really excited to share a stage with her on January 10th at the Strand in Rockland. And she is somebody that, before I moved to Rockland, I had not heard of. And then the second I landed here, people were like, oh, have you heard of Louisa Stanchoff? Have you heard, over and over and over again? Like, I have now. And then I finally got a chance to see her play. We shared a bill this past summer at a little festival in Bremen. So talented. What a great singer. What a great just musician in general and a really cool person. So I would say that she's the person I'm most excited about right now. Then you've also got Cilla Barney, who is currently out playing bass with Elisa Amador, and she plays bass and sings as well. She has her own material. I know she's cutting a new record. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And then you've got, Griffin Sherry, obviously, from the Ghost of Paul Revere, just put out a record this past year, and we've been out touring on that, and that's great, and he's great. He's emerging as a solo artist, so it's fun to be part of that and see it develop. And then, of course, you've got the Oshima brothers as well, who are out there storming the castle as well. A very talented duo of actual brothers, both sing, and Jamie is a multi-instrumentalist wizard as well, so he's like the studio master there, but they're quite a duo. So,
and they've got a new song out. Well, Spencer, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you in the new year, and good luck with your big new project, your big retrospective. Spencer Albee, singer, songwriter, musician, and producer. We're going to go to Eric Thomas, who's calling in from the Waterville Opera House. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you?
What are you excited about this year? What's coming up?
Well, next week we've got a show that's already sold out, Christmas with the Celts, which sort of combines Celtic music with, some driving Nashville folk music. I think they've been regulars on PBS, so that should be a really exciting one. And then next month we have Portrait of Aretha, starring CeCe Tenille. She does Aretha Franklin music, really amazing. I caught her at a showcase at a conference I went to last year. Really looking forward to that one. She's going to put on a great show, real powerhouse vocalist. And then the next night we've got Eagle Mania, which is also, I think, pretty much sold out at this point. They play the music of the Eagles. And then January 11th, we have Julia Gagnon, who was on American Idol. I'm sure everyone is familiar with her. Should be a great show. There are still tickets available for that one. And then stretching out into February, we've got Joss Stone coming and also the Outlaws. So some really, really exciting stuff coming up.
Well, Eric, how long, I have to ask, how long ahead of time do you book?
It depends. You know, some things I'm looking a year out. Joss Stone, we literally booked that show maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago. You know, and it's only 2 months away. So it depends. We try to be opportunistic up here. You know, sometimes people are coming through Boston or New Hampshire, and they need a fill-in date, and we try to jump on that. At a minimum, I think I need about 2 months to promote something, so.
Well, Eric, I appreciate you calling in. I know the Waterfall Opera House is just an amazing resource with sometimes two or three events a day, so I so appreciate you calling in and talking about some of the music coming up there. We have some emails here and Facebook posts. This is Corey on Facebook. While discussing the summer shows, I'd like to point out Portland is having a fantastic selection of winter concerts. Portland House of Music hosting a show on December 30th. Featuring One Time Weekend and guest vocalist Erica Tracy from West End Blend. Upcoming shows with Talk, Eggy, Spafford, and Thievery Corporation are further evidence of Portland's somewhat under-the-radar amazing winter season. And from Ian, the technology these days allows easy recording and release of music, but it's very hard to get people's attention. I'm in a band called Odin Stone. My bandmate lives in Portugal, but we still make music. Buying downloads, CDs of merch through Bandcamp is a great way for people to support local and emerging artists. And Amesel, you're raising, you're nodding your head. You know, you would say maybe listening on Spotify is a good beginning, but not the best for the musicians.
Well, I mean, well, first let me say that I don't know how to pronounce a Fodian theater, and I have anxiety about it. So just want to go back to that. but Spotify is complicated. Like, I use Spotify, you know, as much as the next person. But, you know, the artists don't get much in the way of revenue. Bandcamp is great. You can buy downloads. Bandcamp is a wonderful way to follow what the bands you love are doing. But also, I tell everybody until I turn blue in the face, go out and buy tickets. Go out, especially in the local scene. Go buy their bumper stickers and their patches and their T-shirts and their ball caps and every other piece of merch that they sell, and tell all your friends to do the same. And just help. Anything you can do makes a huge difference. If they put out vinyl, buy the vinyl, buy the CD, buy all the things. Yeah.
An email from Herb, a shout out to the Novel Jazz Septet, seven main musicians, finishing our 20th year as a band with a solstice concert. And dedicated to the music of Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, playing at venues up and down the Mid-Coast. So a Novel Jazz Winter Solstice celebration. I just clicked on the link. It's at the Skidamfa Public Library, and that is tomorrow evening. So thank you for that. And then Drew on Facebook says, Thievery Corporation at Aura in Portland, March 4th, 2025. If you know, if you don't, you should. So are either of you familiar with Thievery Corporation?
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Emily, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember listening to them when I had a radio show on the college station at University of Maine, WMEB, for many, many years, and was, you know, music director, and I remember, you know, listening to them way back in the day and still have all these years later. So definitely a classic of electronic music for sure.
Electronic music. Okay. Well, I'm going to thank both of you because I want to make some time in this hour for us to hear a little more from Dave Mallett. So thank you both today, Emily Burnham, audience engagement editor for the Bangor Daily News, and Amesel Ponte. Music writer with the Portland Press Herald. Today's sound engineer was Jessica Miller. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. And you can find out about past shows or sign up for Maine Calling's weekly newsletter by going to mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Have a great holiday season. And we will go out this hour with David Mallett, who we lost this past year. Here is Dave Mallett singing Somewhere in Time.
Familiar sights, you're part of this heart of mine. And as sure as I'm holding you close to me now, I have held you somewhere in time. Somewhere in time, when the world stood still. I said I'd always love you, now I believe I will. Somewhere in time, let's do that again. And as sure as I'm